evening. I'm pleased to be the city manager of Columbia. My name's Mike Mathis. I am here to present the 2014 State of the City. Our charter requires the city manager to prepare and submit to the council a statement of policy recommendations for programs and priorities which, in the opinion of the city manager, will benefit the city. That's become known as the State of the City. And as it's evolved over time, it's really become a performance report, a report of how we're doing against our goals. And so we have a strategic plan, and I'm proud to present some of the results to you today. We've been implementing our strategic plan for the past 2 years, so we're 2 years into a three-year plan, and I'm very happy to report that the staff has done a wonderful job implementing it. It doesn't get a lot of airtime, but we are 68% of the way through the plan, meaning we have successfully implemented 68% of the goals that were outlined in the plan. So we're right on schedule, and we've done it all within budget. Of special note in that success is, you know, we've come through the recession. I'd like to say the recession is over, but I'm afraid to say that out loud. It might come back. So we are cautiously optimistic about the future. This is the first budget we will not have to cut any of our service lines or lay anyone off because of revenue. We have seen quite a bit of success with our citizens' top three goals. So we do a survey each year, and we ask the community, you know, what are you satisfied with, and where do you want us to focus our energy? If there is new money, where should we spend it? And our citizens let us know where they want us to spend it. It's been very clear for a long time, a sustained number of years, roads are the number one priority of our community. So we listened to that survey. We responded to it. We have now, over the last 3 years, doubled our investment in roads. And you can see that result in the survey. We asked then after a year break, so we had a two-year cycle in surveys. We asked again, how satisfied are you with roads? And it went up 10%. That is a rare thing in city government to have, one, any movement in the survey over time, and two, to have a 10 percentage point increase. So we're very proud of that. It demonstrates we listened, we did something about it, and it has paid off in higher satisfaction of our community. We also addressed the second and third most important goals of the citizenry. As expressed through the survey, we added three police officers to increase our emphasis on crime prevention, community policing, and we balanced the budget in the general fund. So that was actually the first year we asked that question in the survey. It was last year. It was, how important is it to you that we balance the budget? And it came in number three, roads, crime prevention, and balance the budget. So I'm very pleased we made positive progress and achieved those goals on all three of those. At the same time, we did cut the budget. So to give you a sense of the state of the city, I'm going to present an overview of our most important progress across the seven strategic priority areas established by the council. I like to think of these sort of critical seven measures as our vital signs. You know, if you go to the doctor, you get blood pressure and a number of other things I won't go into, but vital signs. And so these measures really are our vital signs. I'm going to really present to you seven graphs here and then spend a little time to drill into these topics. So customer-focused government is the very first priority of the City Council in the strategic plan. So the core measure of that is overall satisfaction with the quality of customer service received. And I'm very pleased to report we're up 2 points. So that's moving in the right direction. We have a long way to go to meet our goal, of course. And I'll tell you, customer service is something we are baking into every part of the organization. At this point now, every job description, every employee is evaluated with customer service as an element of that evaluation. That's new based on the strategic plan. So that's one way we're reiterating the importance and holding ourselves accountable to results in this area. After all, really, customer service, said another way, is public service, and that is our only reason to exist. We're here to do work for the community that we can't do on our own as individuals, and so at a fundamental level, this is why we exist, and we're proud that it is moving in the right direction. Let me give you an example of what I mean by customer service and public service. Matt Graymore, I don't know if you've already heard this story, but he's a police officer, and recently he received the Police Officer of the Year Award. We gave him that award because on Veterans Day last year, Matt went to a call and found a fairly belligerent drunk. That's what the situation presented. And this person was homeless, and the shelter wouldn't even take this person because of the intoxication and the belligerence. Matt realized after communicating with this individual that they were a veteran. And so he said, well, on Veterans Day, I shouldn't leave this guy here. So he, with his own money, put him up in a hotel for the night. And I love that story. And he did that without asking for permission. And he did that because he's a human being. The great part is the end story, which I think Matt found out about yesterday. This person has now turned it around, dealt with his drinking problem, and has a job and a house. So great, great story. Another customer service story I'll share with you is a solid waste, our garbage service. We all love it when the garbage goes away. It's actually one of the hardest jobs there is. It's more dangerous, statistically speaking, than police, being a police officer. Well, we got a call one day that a resident wasn't sure, but they think they may have lost their wedding ring in the garbage, and could we help them in some way? Well, imagine that. Those trucks are pretty big. They hold tons of garbage. Well, we said we did look into it, and we found the truck that if the ring truly was in the garbage, we found the truck that it was in. And we invited the owner of the ring to meet us at the landfill. We would dump the truck to the side of the landfill and try to find the ring. Well, you might imagine in that situation, some folks might be tempted to say, you know, knock yourself out. It's a pretty dirty job. It's your ring. But we didn't. We had three people that volunteered and helped look for the ring. And right out of Alice's restaurant, we, under a ton of garbage, found a ring. So I am I'm very proud of the folks that literally dug through a small mountain of garbage to find a ring because one of our citizens asked. That's the kind of customer service I love telling you about. It's the kind of customer service we are here to provide, and that is why this indicator is moving in the right direction, one of our positive vital signs. I'm going to move on to economic development. Our major measure here of our health, our vital sign, is unemployment. So economic development usually means jobs to most people. And as you can see nationwide on this chart, the situation is getting better. So unemployment is going down in the U.S., it's going down in the state of Missouri, down in Boone County, and down in Columbia. Columbia has historically had a low unemployment rate. It's one of our attractions for job seekers. It's one reason we grow as in population. People come to Columbia to work. Not only do they relocate to work here, they drive in from neighboring communities to work. Another indicator I want to talk about, besides this vital sign, is some of the external validation we have of our own economy. Last year, I think we all heard about the Milken Institute naming Columbia the number one small city in America for jobs. Austin was the number one large city in America for jobs. So we're in some pretty rarefied company there. Forbes just recently, last week, named Columbia as the third best small city for jobs in 2014. So Milken was 13. Forbes said we're third best in the country in 14. We're only halfway through the year, right? These are great indicators of our economic development. I want to talk for a second, too, about Como Connect, another thing we've done. So I'm going to give specific examples of things we're doing in each of these areas that are helping move these numbers. Economic development is more than just jobs. It's the quality of the jobs and how people get to them and keep them in Columbia. So Como Connect is what we have branded a major expansion of our transit system. And when I say expansion, I mean our service area. We totally reinvented transit. It's going to start in August. We're going to serve more of the community geographically with a far higher quality level of service. And we're all doing this within the same budget that we have. So how can you do that? How can you expand and not spend more money? Well, we changed our model. Our model for the transit system was, created in the 60s, and it was very, successful for that period, and it took us a long way, decades. But we have outgrown it. That was the hub and spoke type orbital pulse system, where every bus starts at one point, goes out, and then back, and do that all day. But we've grown to the point where that's a long drive, and it's a long drive back, and it takes a long time, and people wait a long time for the bus. And you have to go downtown to get across town. And so what we've done instead now is we've created a system that uses routes as that hub. And so you don't have to go downtown. You can stay in your neighborhood and get to the grocery store and the doctor's office and work and home. We have 7 neighborhood routes like that. And we have 2 I'll say central city in a way, but they stretch from almost the city limits to the city limits, north and south, east and west. These are high volume routes where you won't wait more than 15 minutes and you can get all the way across town. So for the first time in decades, the transit system is a viable commute option. People can rely on it to get to work and home again every day, Monday through Friday. So we're very excited about that development, and we believe it's another reason our economic development strategic plan is being achieved. Well, it wouldn't be a state of the city without a financial health comment. It is the third of our 7 strategic priority areas. We have been focused through the recession on closing the gap between our revenue and our expenditures. So we spent more than we received through the recession. And that was a wise choice, I believe. Through a lot of very good fiscal discipline and conservative spending for decades on the behalf of city council and city staff, we had built up significant reserves in almost every service line. And so when the recession came, we had reserves from which to pull to carry us through. We didn't have massive layoffs. You hear from other cities that laid off half of their police department because they had no reserves. We didn't have to do that. We got to make more rational choices. Yes, we did have to leave some jobs open in fire and in police, and we did do layoffs in almost every department, but it wasn't the slash and burn approach that you saw in so many cities. We've had a very methodic approach over the last 3 years to control spending and wait for revenue to come back. And we've done what we can with economic development to grow our revenue. So those things have worked, and I'm proud to announce we have closed the gap. It is closed in this year. But I couldn't be prouder of our staff in this regard. Part of the reason we were able to control our expenditures is that city staff sacrificed a great deal in that period. There were some employees who didn't get a raise 3 years in that period. We were able to give a couple of raises in 2 years, but they were very modest. Employees also met together and proposed specific ways to reorganize our pension systems in police and fire. And what that meant was our new employees would have a less rewarding pension, a less expensive pension than our current employees. And that is a big sacrifice. And it is helping us balance the budget. And we have reached it because of that. And I couldn't be prouder of the management of the city, the senior leadership, the department directors, the deputy directors, the program managers, supervisors who pinch pennies. And we literally think about what we buy when we buy it. And if we don't need that box of paper, we don't get it yet. Do we really need another box of pens? We ask those questions when we order equipment and supplies, and we don't buy it if we don't have to. And because of that, we have closed the gap. Moving on to growth management, as you can see in the chart, the community seems to stay pretty steady, around 35% satisfaction level for how we deal with growth. The satisfaction tends to be negatively correlated with growth. If you look back in our history in the 60s, huge growth in Columbia. We've never not grown. But as growth accelerates, satisfaction with growth management goes down. And so that is true in this case, too. In 05, we had an escalating amount of growth. And it really, amazingly enough, even in the recession, hasn't stopped. It did slow down for a while, but now it's back, and it's back in full force. We are growing. And the difficulty is when you live in a community and you love it the way people who live in Columbia do, you don't want it to change, right? We love what we have. And if you've enjoyed living in a house and looking out on a meadow, most folks hate to see that meadow turn into more houses, right? Or shopping center. So satisfaction is negatively correlated with growth. So it's in one regard a good economic outcome, in another regard we know that there's dissatisfaction with it. So what have we done about growth management? We have completed our comprehensive plan, and we are well into the implementation of that comprehensive plan, and with the complete rewrite of our zoning code. So we're going to make our rules and regulations match what our aspirations are in the comprehensive plan. And that calls for a much closer look and regulation of growth. So that is coming as we move forward. Health, safety, and well-being is probably the largest area of our effort as a city government. Very pleased to report improvement here as well. We were headed the wrong direction as late as 2011 and 2013. We turned the corner and brought that back a little bit. So 80% of the community is satisfied or very satisfied with the quality of life in Columbia. I love being able to report that we've turned that corner after we lost ground. After all, you know, we are in the quality of life business. Why we exist. If you think about everything we do, we either make life less irritating for people, right? We take away the garbage, we take away the sewage, or we make life more fun, right? If you think about Parks and Rec and all the magnificent trails. We just dedicated 3M Wetlands yesterday, and what a phenomenal place, you know. Health, safety, and well-being is about more than health. It's about more than safety. It's about more than well-being. It's all of these things. And so we measure it by the phrase quality of life. Another reason we believe that this is going up is that our crime rate is at a 35-year low. There was a lot of press last year and the year before about crime, and we are always concerned about it. We always are working to catch the bad guys and to prevent what crimes we can. Unfortunately, we live in a very low-tax city and a very low-tax state, and we are across the board and throughout the entire organization 30% understaffed, and that's true in police and it's true in fire department. So it's hard to do community policing on such a thin budget. And the other difficulty we have there is the city has not stopped growing. The number of calls for service is on a constantly growing trend line. We had 75,000 calls through 911 for police service last year. We have not grown the police department for years. We are adding three this year, so that's some movement. But that only matches our growth rate. So we're not catching up with the past. We're keeping time with it, and that is a successful outcome. So I'm pleased to report that, but we have a long way to go to gain back the ground we've lost in that regard in terms of staffing levels. I am pleased to report, the lower crime rate, a historic low in crime, violent crime in this community. We have a crime rate that's half of Springfield's. It's a third of Kansas City's. It's a fourth of St. Louis. We all go there to vacation, don't we? So it's an interesting thing in Columbia that there seems to be a disconnect between the reality of the crime and our perception of it, our fear of it. We'll be working over the next year to sustain our effort, grow our effort into community policing, and to remind folks that it is not an unsafe community. It's one of the safest in Missouri. It's a beautiful place to live, and we all know that, and the survey results show it. Moving on with infrastructure, this is probably our greatest success story this year. We listened to the public in the citizen survey, where citizens demanded more investment in roads. 3 years ago, we dedicated a new revenue source. That was the pilot payments from the Columbia Energy Center. That was phased in over 5 years, and so we're using each year's increase in pilot revenue to fund more paving, more resurfacing. Therefore, we resurface more miles of street than we did before. And we've resurfaced 30 miles last year, memory serves. And so it was a direct response to the number one priority of the community as expressed in the survey. The beautiful thing about that number one priority is you can see us fixing it. And we fixed the roads that most people use every day. And so we are directly responding to a stated desire of the community. And that's why we have a 10% increase in satisfaction. Now, as you can see, it's still only about 45%. That's not where we want it to be. We have a long way to go here, but it is a remarkable increase in satisfaction. We are moving in the right direction. And we are going to continue to do that. We have a lot more to do with infrastructure than just roads. I expect most of you are aware of the ongoing public conversation about downtown infrastructure with sewers, electricity, but all of our infrastructure is aging. We do not have a method to replace it on the cycle time it really needs. And so we will be exploring those in more detail this year as we work through the budget process. About how we want to approach that. Our cycle time right now for maintaining streets, this measure, is 48 years. That means it will take us, at the current funding level, 48 years to resurface all of the streets in the city. That's not acceptable, right? That's not the cycle time anyone wants. And that's a remarkable improvement. 3 years ago, it was 60 years. So that's the method that we're using to keep track of our success. Because everything costs more every year, that's how we have to do it. So this is a great area of success. It's also an area that we will be focusing on intensely over the coming year about all of our infrastructure. Workforce is the seventh of our strategic priority areas. It's turnover here is about 11%. As you can see the chart, it kind of stays steady. It flows from about 8 at the low, and you can see the recession hit in about 07, right? So when a recession comes, people tend not to retire. And those folks waited wisely. And now that it's passed, you can see in 11 it starts to go up, 12, 13, up a little bit. Those folks have now decided to retire, now that it's safer financially to do that. And so we're seeing a bit of an increase. 11% is still good. I mean, compared to most industries, this is phenomenally low turnover rate. And that's because the city of Columbia is a great place to work. We've had a rough patch with the recession in terms of salaries, but it is a great place to work. We have a healthy and vibrant work environment, and we protect our folks from the harm that we send them into. If you think about the fire department, that's a great example. We send them into harm's way. They're foolish enough to want to go, and that is a joke. And but we protect them. We give them the best training we can find and create, and we give them the best equipment and protective gear we can. So that's an example of how we value our workforce, how we protect our workforce. So we do look for our turnover rate to come back down, and we do that through a number of ways. One is we really can't control retirements, but we want to continue to maintain a healthy work environment, a fun work environment, and we work in a noble cause. You know, the purpose of the city government is very fulfilling, and for folks that are motivated by public service and by making this part of the world a better place, this is a great place to work, because that's what we do every day. And most of our employees are here for that reason. We know, because we asked them, why did you choose to work here? And that was their answer. I want to make this place better. So that's a pretty terrific workforce to have, and we want to make sure we can keep that motivating factor alive and well. I am also happy to report, because of our financial health, we will be able to give a raise this year. And so exactly how much is what we're working through, but we will not have to go another year without a raise in the workforce. So that's very good news for the folks that have really not had much of one in the last 5 years. So finally, it's always good to remind ourselves that we are in a fantastic community. We're in a low-tax city, in a low-tax state. Only 17% of the revenue comes from taxes. That's that green pie chart there. 17% is from taxes. A tenth of that 17% is property tax. The rest of it is sales tax, which we pay some of, but so do the visitors that come here, right? So we are a very low tax city. When I say that, I point out property and sales tax. Property tax, we have 6% of your property tax bill goes to the city, 6%. On sales tax, the city charges 2 cents, 2%, right? So it's our largest source of tax is 2% of a sale, and it's 6% of your whole property tax bill. So that's, when I say we're a low tax city, that's what I mean. That 17% really represents our discretionary revenue. We can spend that pretty much how we like as a community. And so where do we spend it? Almost entirely on public safety and roads. Far more of it in public safety than roads, but that's our priority. So in summary, the state of the city is this. This is a great community. That's not news to anyone. We've survived the recession, while we've also responded to the community's three most important aspirations: roads, crime prevention, and balancing the budget. However, we're not positioned to achieve the larger aspirations the community has. We remain understaffed across the entire organization. We're 30% understaffed in police and fire. And why is this? Well, the city grows. Inflation happens. Our revenue is fairly stagnant. We are bringing in constant dollars 15% less per capita than we did 10 years ago. That's due to a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that we love to shop online. And that sales doesn't get taxed. And we don't support the local business vendor when we do that. There are many stories about that. We have folks that go try on shoes in a shoe store and then leave and buy them online to save the sales tax. We have folks that go to Best Buy and look and then leave and buy it online, right? Those are the kind of things that result in this 15% less per capita revenue. So that is why we are stressed still on staffing levels, and we are not going to be able to achieve those aspirational goals the community has about crime prevention, about community policing. So because of that, we are going to enter the budget process this year focused on that issue. We now can take our attention away from cutting the budget. We have enough revenue to keep what we have and get through the year and to accomplish our mission, but our focus will be more intently on closing the infrastructure funding gap and exploring how we grow our commitment to community policing and transit. With that, I'll take any questions you might have and wrap up. We're 10. I believe we'll have to. At some point, you know, our property tax is so low and our needs are so great. And if you think about the needs the community has said it wants, just those two things, roads and prevention of crime, those are universal needs. They aren't going to go away in 2 years if we pour a bunch of money into it, right? These are permanent needs the community is going to have. The best way to fund that is property tax, because it doesn't go away in a recession. It stays constant. So for those core foundational needs, property tax really is the way to go. I think we'll have to phase in any increase that might be result, and of course it'll be a valid initiative, so everyone will get to have a voice on whether we do it or not. But I can tell you this council is very concerned with impact and tax fatigue, and so every conversation the council has had has been about phasing in these revenue sources. And so no, and right now I have no numbers to give you. Yeah. We can't even, if we threw every dollar we have available at the staffing gap, we wouldn't even make a dent in it. So to give you an example, a raise for the entire general fund last year, let me go back 2 years because that's the best example. We spent $500,000 to give every employee a raise 2 years ago. That would equate to about four police officers if you add all the equipment and all that in, and one supervisor, so a sergeant or something, so five people altogether. To solve the staffing gap just in the police department, we need at least 30. The chief has asked for 42, and I think he's probably right. That's probably the right number. And so to give you a sense, if we went without raises for, what is that, 5 into 42? Get eight years? Thanks. I need a calculator these days. 8 years, we could fix one department's staffing problem. So there are, you know, this is citywide, right? So it's a matter of scale. The understaffing is endemic, and the amount of revenue we see each year of growth is really not enough to ever fix that problem. Thanks for asking. That question was, what are we doing to try to address the disconnect between the realities of our crime rate and the public perception of our crime rate? Well, one is to of course, ask the press not to dwell on it quite so much. You all know there are outlets that have the policy, crime all the time, and they've used words like, if it bleeds, it leads. This is not news to anyone. So that sort of reporting is very hard to overcome. Right? So what we do is at meetings like this state what our crime rate is and that you don't have to be afraid. You're actually far less likely to be a victim of crime today than you were 30 years ago when we were a much smaller city. So that's great news, I think, and worthy of reporting. But you know, the nature of being a human being too, you know, when something bad does happen, it does get reported, and it gets reported for a month, every day, in some venue or other. And then the trial comes, and it gets reported again, you know. And I don't think that'll change, probably shouldn't change, but it's I raise it because it's an obstacle to overcome in this communication. So the other thing we're doing that's very positive, the mayor appointed a crime task force, which is co-chaired by council members. Councilmember Trapp, Councilmember Nauzer, they have been making, I think, terrific steps learning for the whole community what is causing crime here. So you can generalize and extrapolate from studies across the country, but they're not always true about Columbia. We're a very different place than LA and Chicago, you know. So it's very important to do this research here, and they are looking at what are the things that really do prevent crime. Do we have those programs? Should they get bigger? Are there programs we don't have that we should? So their report is eagerly anticipated, and I can guarantee we will act on the recommendations they have. Yeah, so the question was, you know, where's the money coming from to hire the three more officers? Because we rely so heavily on sales tax, it does tend to grow when we have a healthy environment. There's a little more each year. And so there is a natural growth in revenue. And the key is to keep expenses from growing faster than the revenue does. And that's one, how we have closed the gap. And so this year we have a little bit of natural growth, and that's what we're using to hire the three officers. Next year, you'll see a fee increase, or basically some fines, which we haven't increased in decades. And so we're tying, and these are traffic violations, parking lots. So we're tying bad behavior to police funding, which is kind of almost a direct connection. So the question is, what about the firefighters brought on by the grant we received? Wonderful grant, and we are still in that period where we're not having to pay, right? But that's coming soon, and so the next budget we'll have to pick up half of the cost, and then all the costs on the next year. And we had enough notice ahead of time that we've used this sort of natural growth to hold back enough to be able to do that. So I'm very pleased to be able to tell you we're going to keep those five officers when the grant runs out. Any other questions? Well, the only so the question was, how much has a lack of a TIF district hurt the city, and what are the alternatives? You know, TIF is a financing mechanism. It's a way to fund things, and that could be economic development or infrastructure or parks or anything. So in the circumstance where there isn't one, it's just meant it's just time lost, right? So if we had moved forward in that way, we might have created it by now, and it might be starting to raise funds for the purposes we'd outlined. So really all we've lost is a little time, but the community said it wasn't ready for that. So, you know, we work for them, for the community, for the council. And so the alternatives are our standard bag of tools, you might say, which are each utility has a fee attached to it. So those fees might go up, have to go up at some point to do the projects, or there's, you know, tax increases that are possibilities. If you look at the Downtown Leadership Council's minutes and agenda from the public meetings they had a week or two ago now, they have a long list of alternatives. Now, most of them are very small impact alternatives, but if you did them all, you might have a really sizable ability to do those projects. So that's where we are now. We're really sorting through in a slow public process. So that everyone has time to get the information and process it and come to some understanding about what their preferences are. And so at the end of the day, we will have, I think, a consensus view on how to move forward with infrastructure funding. All right, with that, I thank you all for coming and look forward to the rest of the year.